Hey everyone, welcome back to the Ari the One Wrap Up podcast covering this 2-hour week of Ari the One and last week's hour of Ari the One. A lot to talk about. The person you hear giggling is my reliable, outstanding, perfect match of a co-host, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
I'm like really, really excited to just talk about a bunch of assholes for 3 hours.
I forgot the weeks because like the first when it's 2 hours, it's technically 2 episodes. So this is technically weeks 5 and 6, but it's covering 3 hours. We're doing it to ourselves again. Another 3-hour podcast.
I think it's just like our way, like the universe's way of repaying us for watching. Are you the one and paying attention to these people? It's like, all right, now you got to sit through it for 3 hours. Joke's on you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like it's a fine 3 hours to pack in here because, as we said right before we got on, like not too much happened. We did have an interesting truth booth, some fights. A lot of the fights weren't about anything. So I think it's going to be like 3 hours, but in a nice little concise package for everyone.
Yeah, that usually works the best. They will have a nice concise package of a bunch of pieces of shit.
So if you can remember back far enough, we left off with week 5, having been at the couples retreat, learn how to be in a relationship, hang, and they're all still talking. The exes have left. It kills me because Jasmine, like, I think all of the Twitter shit is like getting to my head about and like making me not like Jasmine, but she is absolutely the girl who would jump in and be like, oh my God, I'm so happy my ex didn't come. Like, I'm so relieved when she's really pissed that she didn't get the attention from her ex.
Yeah, this is where they were all in those like tents, right? And they were having like these, like, it looked like two like separate group discussions that they like production planned. So they had footage. That's where they were. She was saying all this, right?
Yeah, it was like some mirrored action.
Yeah, it was super weirdly set up. And that one guy, his name is Andrew. I keep forgetting his name. Didn't he give like this weird little speech about how they're supposed to like be there for a reason, or like it was like trying to be inspirational?
Maybe. I feel like a lot of the guys have been letting us down in the drama. Like, I think a lot of the women this season have been way more interesting than the men, just on the whole. So my bias is showing.
Yeah, no, I just barely, because he doesn't get screen time, so that's what I barely remembered. But yeah, Jasmine does seem like that type of girl. And this is directly after she had this shower session with Tevin, right?
Yeah, which she like self-reports. Like, if in case you forgot, she's going to remind you like, oh my God, like exes are here and conversations were had and like showers were had. I don't know by who. God. It's like so random that I'm even saying this.
It sounds like every girl and guy on Are You the One where they want people to know everything about them, but they try to do it in the most like obvious, not roundabout way, but they don't want it to come across like they're spewing, oh, I want the attention, but that's pretty much what they're saying.
So let's talk about the biggest thing from, I would say, last week's episode. That's a spillover from the couples retreat with the exes. Kenya, like, not even 2 weeks off, a week off from Ari the One can have us forgetting how Kenya acted with her ex. But, like, someone should tell Kenya, because she's all of a sudden, like, Tevin's the one, and, like, communication with my ex will never get better. Like, who communicated that to Tevin? Because Tevin's already to take a step back at this point, because, like, everybody in America who watches Ari the One and everybody else there saw, you were all up on your ex the whole time. Of course, leave it to Kenya to just be like, oh my God, I knew, like, my ex made me see Tevin was the one for me. Ignoring Tevin really, like, made the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, and didn't she tell her ex, like, when we get home, like, things will change? Like, didn't she kind of, like, allude to them getting back together?
Or 100%.
Yeah, so then, like, where did this come from that she was all of a sudden like, okay, I love you, like, I'll see you soon, bye, okay, I'm done. Like, where did she just play her ex that well and, like, made him think, like, get this false hope? Or was she setting herself up for things after if things didn't work out with Tevin?
I mean, as Kenya told us, like, only real women will understand, like, the love with her ex. But, I mean, I'm, like, afraid to even say anything about Kenya because, like, I'm sure she could convince me that this makes sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. She definitely can. I feel like if she was here right now, we'd both be believing her.
So other things that didn't make any sense is Kenya's rage when Kwasi, the self-proclaimed snitch, is like, oh, I heard that Jasmine topped off Tevin. I was, like, asleep in the truck.
Do you remember how he said it, though? Do you remember how he said it? He said, "Old boy got head from Jasmine."
Oh, censors.
Old boy got H from Jasmine. He should have said, "Old boy got topped off from Jasmine." That would have been the best quote of all time in Are You the One if he said that.
Aspirational quotes.
Yeah, it would have been, if I went back to high school, it would be in my yearbook, but I'm 25, turning 26 in a month, so that's not going to be happening anytime soon.
I just can't get over the rage, and I should be able to get over it. I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy we'll get into, especially towards the end of the podcast, but, like, am I in the Twilight Zone? She goes to confront Tevin, she's pissed at Jasmine, don't talk to me, you shut up, Tevin, when are you going to tell me, whatever, all this nonsense fighting, which is really just the theme of the podcast, is nonsense fighting. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of a sudden, oh, I just love that he was vulnerable with me to admit that I upset him when I obviously hooked up with my ex in front of him. And, like, now we're back together.
It is bizarre. And the thing that I wrote in my notes, and it was, like, a week ago, and we watched 2 hours since, so I don't remember it as crystal clear as I'd like. But I wrote, she's such a hypocrite, though. That's it. So apparently I agreed with you that she was being a hypocrite. But that's Are You the One? Like, as much as, and I think it's going to still bother us every time, because hypocrisy is such an annoying thing to watch take place in front of you. But that's the show. Almost everyone's a hypocrite at some point. I feel like this was just kind of a more extreme example.
It must just, like, no, you're 100% right about that. I'm just like, it just frustrates me. I mean, they must be a perfect match because, like, that this makes sense to either of them, that, like, oh, she came to me when her ex was gone and told me that she wants to be with me, so that must mean she likes me more than the ex. And he hooked up with Jasmine, but was man enough to tell me that he did so because he was hurt, means that he loves me, and, like, let's go to the Boom Boom Room.
Makes total sense.
Speaking of tickets to the Boom Boom Room, Zach and Morgan cash in here. Apparently, like, knowing very, like, I was gonna say gentle, not unimportant, but very, like, remedial facts about someone is a ticket, one-way ticket to the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah, I never have tried that approach. I feel like it wouldn't translate as well in real life. But you know what? If it does, if it works for some people, it works for some people.
I did love, one of them says to the other, you were a single child. I think Zach says it to Morgan, like, instead of an only child, you were a single child, growing up single. I love that.
I feel like people forget how to say normal things on Are You the One. I feel like we talk a lot about how they word things, and it's so off. Like, just, like, random sentences almost don't make sense from these people.
Which I can sympathize with, because, look, like, when you're recording anything, like, everyone in their daily life makes flubs. True, and, like, true. As a podcaster, like, people call out my flubs all the time. And I'm just like, bruh, listen to yourself. So maybe that's the same thing. I want to start calling only child single child. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, it is. I think we, every time which I don't think we'll be doing a lot, but when it comes up, like, an only child, oh, we're calling it single child.
Single child, topped off. We're getting the lingo for season 6.
We're learning.
Seven.
We are learning.
We also learn a little bit about Mo, and if I'm seeming like I'm just breezing through this episode, it's because literally that's what an episode of Are You the One is now, just like 10-second vignettes on everyone.
Exactly.
What kills me is, and we get a little bit from Mo in this week's episode, but last week, Mo's storyline is just that he's not a part of the show.
And I think, like, I wish they would kind of just run with that the whole season. Like, what is Mo doing? Like, oh, he's doing nothing because he's not, like, a character and he's, like, in the background. That'd be a really funny take on it. That's what I would hope when it comes to Mo. And punching bag scenes, of course. I don't want to leave that out.
Now, I don't know if it's just, like, production is showing this because it's, like, kind of funny, or if they're trying to explain, like, why Mo's not getting any airtime. Like, I know Are You the One's been kind of bad, especially in the early seasons where, like, 3 or 4 people, we still have no idea who they even are at the end of the show. So maybe this is sort of like, we're not, like, biased against Mo. He's just cleaning.
And you know what? Some people have their role on the show. Mo's the clean. And we do see a little bit more of him in the 2-hour extravaganza. But I do think that Mo seems like a very chill guy who enjoys being friendly to people, I feel like, and maybe he enjoys, like, giving advice. And I don't know if he's the type of person that's going to be as aggressive enough to kind of get in there and start playing the game rather than kind of sitting back and watching and cleaning and hoping someone comes to him.
Yeah, it's taken Mo a few Are You the One weeks, which is a few days, to get into the groove. Then we get to the fate button, and I want to have, I feel like every week we talk about the fate button, but like I get angrier and angrier about the presence of the fate button, particularly in this 3-hour block of Arya the One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a fan, and we've expressed that, but I'm definitely still not a fan.
I just think I don't care about producer intervention, but lie to me. Like on a scripted show, which is just entirely scripted, they're not like talking about that on the show. And to me, this wheel has now become like, I think it's killing Arya the One. I think it's taken away any like all intrigue related to the day to day parts of the episode. Like now just nothing happens. It's just vignette, vignette, vignette. Here's Mo cleaning. Okay, let's spin the wheel. And to make matters worse, like Maria and Shamoy are still appearing on the wheel of the fate button. So if you had any doubt that this wasn't randomized, the image is just a complete bullshit. And two people who are not in the house are still a possibility of being selected in the fate button.
Do you think they were just that lazy? Like, okay, like nobody will notice. Or do you think they're just that stupid where they didn't notice?
I think it's just sort of like, I don't know. I think it's very similar to when the no match match used to go across the screen and like no match would only go halfway across the screen. So everybody could know during the commercial before commercial based on seeing the bar alone, if it was a no match or a match. I just think it's like maybe something you don't think about when something new happens. You don't consider like, oh, you need to update the graphic for the fake wheel.
It's so funny, and the way he described it, and this might have been the second episode, but I know Terrence described it a certain way. He said, well, we know you guys really suck at picking or like choosing couples, but they didn't even have a chance to. Like maybe the 6 seasons prior, but like how can you really crap on this season for what in the past, this whole, the concept of the show? I don't know. I feel like that's kind of like a silly way to describe it. Like I think they should just say, we're doing something new where we're doing a wheel. Like not being like, it's your fault we're doing this.
Yeah, like I just think they have very little ability to really impact this season at all. And that's fine with me. But then, like, don't give me a date like this where it's Kenya, Morgan, Brett, and Kwasi. Even if, like, let's say Kenya and Kwasi are a match and the show is trying to be like, let's, like, put you guys together so maybe you'll hit it off, like, trying to help the house. It still makes for, like, the least entertaining date possible.
Yeah, it's just, and maybe even if they did like one date that was like a potential match and then one was just a shit show with like two people that sucked and we knew it was overly produced, but I still feel like that'd be a little more entertaining than, okay, like here's a random couple that has no chance of being a match or they're just friends. Like it was like Brett and Kenya. Yeah, on this date. And they were just like, we're friends, we could be a match, but we're friends. I don't know. I just feel like that was so boring.
You know, I thought this was like a very big waste of an episode. I mean, and we also have to see Kwasi, who is becoming like this creepy, creepy dude. Like the way he talks about women, like, I'm looking at Morgan, I'm going to create a superhuman with her. Like I call my penis the king and everybody wants to meet the king. Like this is like the worst date in Arya the One history, I think, between Kwasi and Morgan.
Yeah, I have to watch what I say because I don't want to get jumped at the gym. But yeah, Kwasi really went from like, at first I'm like, okay, like he's like the snitch thing was kind of funny, you know, and then the way he kind of communicates himself, you could clearly see what Kwasi's there for. Like even in the coming episodes, like he's there to hook up. He's there to get laid. I don't think that any part of Kwasi thought he was going to leave the show with a girlfriend, but he's being super over the top about it and like not even like trying to put on a front. And he's just like just being this kind of odd alpha guy, and it's just not appealing from a viewer's perspective. And I hope that maybe, like, I know they're trying to make him a little more vulnerable, but I agree, the superhuman thing is an odd thing to talk about, and especially naming your penis, that's just weird.
I mean, it's one thing that you don't want to open up and be vulnerable, and if the conversations were superficial in a way that's like, oh, it's just sort of like, oh, where do you live, you know, like, oh cool, what movies do you like and whatever, not willing to go deep, that's okay. We've seen people who are afraid to be vulnerable, that's fine. But it's like he's superficial in the way that all he's doing is talking about physicality, and I'm sexually attracted and physically attracted, and here's my penis, and like you don't even know this girl. It's like really off-putting.
He also says in one of the later episodes, he says, where I'm from, we don't talk about feelings. Does that mean like location wise or he means like family wise? Like my family doesn't talk about that. Because like where I'm from, we talk about feelings and we're in the same area. So like I'm just going to make that very clear that like we talk about feelings here.
I think he's like from Africa, though. So I don't know where he claims as like his hometown.
We have like 100 mutual, like a ton of mutual friends on Facebook. Like he's knows a lot of people. Like he's been living here for a very long time. Like I vaguely, maybe I'm off, but I think I remember him from like sports, and like he's grown up in this area. So that's like, he's probably originally from, I forgot what country he mentioned. Like I know he said it was somewhere in Africa, but I do know like that he's like grown up in this like middle class area. So it's not the hood.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's less, the geography is really less significant than like, true, I think true, you true. Could have, you and your neighbor could have very different experiences in terms of like, your parents' influence, like who's gonna be like the way people, adults in your life interact with you when you're true. A kid, and all these things that can. So like I buy that he's not vulnerable, he's not comfortable opening up, but also what he is comfortable doing is being really sexually aggressive, and it's freaking me out.
Yeah, and I kind of hope he takes a step back a little bit, and I hope we continue to see that maybe he'll open up and show the real Quasi and not this kind of like, because I guess we don't know if it's like really him or not, but it kind of does feel like it's like this alpha act. And I kind of hope, I'd rather be that than him actually being a creep and just being all physical 100% of the time.
And in Quasi's defense, he's certainly not the only guy there who's just trying to hook up. Like Brett, we talked a little bit about, you said, mentioned the friend connection. But he also is like, oh, I'm so annoyed. Not because like he won't have a romantic connection with his match, but because he won't be able to smash in the honeymoon suite.
Yeah, that's such a... And Brett said that, right? That was who said that?
Yeah, and it's fine. It's just like, you know, Quasi's not the only one out there just looking to hook up, but the way he goes about things is so sexually aggressive that it's like eeky.
Off-putting. Yeah, and I prefer people from my hometown to be just batshit crazy like Kareem. So hopefully Quasi gets a little bit out of the creep zone and more into the I'm just insane zone.
All right, so... They go to, as you said, the friend connection goes to the truth booth. Also, credit to the house. Like, they did pick the only couple that was, like, possible out of the foursome. So, or possible in their eyes, at least. Like, they agreed with the people on the date. So, good for them. They get a no match. No one cares. People are happy about it.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird situation. Like, and I don't know. It was just such a boring, like little, like, 20 minutes of... episode from the date till after the truth booth.
Well, not to be Bria is not one to let an episode go by being true. boring, so
very true.
Nothing happens in the truth booth, so drama has to come from somewhere, and we get the confrontation between Bria and Morgan, which was actually like a preview scene. I don't know, I saw it on Facebook before the episode, and it was even funnier the second time.
Oh yeah, and I don't think Bria will disappoint for as many episodes as we have left. I think she'll always be able to bring the drama and find an issue with either Zach or Morgan as the show goes on.
Well, she's the baddest bitch and the realest female in the house, so she's not going to take this all lying down.
No, and she has some beautiful things to say about Morgan in the next episode, but we'll get to that.
Well, she does say what she does, her little routine now, where she says there's nothing you can do or say that will give you the one up on me. I'm always going to be better than you. You'll always be below me. I'm not disrespecting you, but you're beneath me. And okay. She does this little, I'm the baddest bitch. I'm the realest bitch. You'll never have the one up on me. And at first I was just like, Bria is really intense, but now I'm starting to read it like this is when she's feeling insecure about her position with a man in the house, this time Zach. She's going to assert her dominance over the other woman as the baddest female. And whatever's happening in this house is not real. And like, I'm better than you. And it's just, Morgan really does handle it in the right way.
Yeah. And I think it's more of Morgan being scared. Like she's afraid of Bria, which I completely understand. Like Bria would rip her head off. But I do think that this shows a lot about Bria, and that she's, it seems like in her past, maybe she's had guys choose other girls over her. Maybe like just she wasn't the one that they want to be with. And I think that's such an insecurity where, like you mentioned, that she's so like she keeps having to say, like, you're not better than me. You're not better than me. Like, well, why would she think she is better than her if she actually thought that, you know? So yeah. As mean as Bria can get, and she's gotten in these moments, I do feel for her a little bit, because like there's a reason she's saying all this stuff.
No, I do agree. Bria was absolutely crazy the first episode. Bria is really growing on me. I don't know why. I've tended to side with Bria as I'm watching these episodes. I don't think what Bria does is right. I don't think the way she absolutely does disrespect Morgan. I think her threats of violence, all of that is bad. But she is a sympathetic character, at least in my eyes.
And is Morgan the one that's not friends with anyone outside the house? Like, is that Morgan or Jasmine?
So I think that's been declared about Jasmine, but it does seem like as good segue into the matchup, like a lot of the women are at least frustrated with Morgan at this point.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair assessment. I get it.
Before we get to the matchup, or we're at the matchup, but before we go through the couples, which first of all, good thing, not good thing, because I canceled on you last week pretty last minute, but good thing we didn't do a podcast because we'd only be 20 minutes. It would only be 20 minutes.
Talk about boring episodes.
So not the best update from the fantasy suite. I think we have evidence to believe that we were right about the lack of connection between Shamoy and Maria, in that Shamoy is like, we need more people to hang out with. Please get a match.
Yeah, and I maybe they like had their fun for the first like two Are You the One weeks, like the first real week of being there. And now it's definitely starting to slow down, because I feel like when you go into a show like this, you have this kind of I don't think a lot of people think they're going to find their match immediately, because most people don't. So I feel like people go into it with kind of this preconceived notion, like, oh, I'm going to be meeting a lot of people and exploring. And then when you find someone, I really like this person, maybe they're kind of going back to like, oh, like there are a lot of other people, and like maybe we're not the one forever. Like, I don't know. There's just it's just probably a complicated situation. So I think we hit this one on the nail on the head here.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to be on like an isolated vacation basically with someone you don't know for a week, but yeah. Not great to just like, oh yeah, we're having a good time, but we'd like some more people to hang out with.
We need more platonic connection.
So this is where the ladies go rogue. We get strategy over heart. We need to mix things up, and just a ton of connections that make no sense. We have Kayla picking Brett, Asia picking Cam, Samantha picking Mo, loudest and the quietest, like Morgan picking Zach. And that's the only one that is like a couple that has some substance. And that is when Bria and all the ladies in the house call Morgan out for being fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess because they were going for this random strategy, which I don't think is the best bet. I think there has to be some sort of like, okay, let's think about this. It's like they were like, okay, let's just do whatever. But this is where kind of it feels like Morgan gets kind of pushed to the outs, right? Like, I feel like it was all building up, and now it's kind of like, no, what are you doing? You're going against our $1 million.
Yeah, and it's also that I think Bria is saying that Morgan has said, you know, I'll never go after you. Just sort of like what happened with Nutza and Zach and Morgan. Like, oh, I'm not going after him. I'm going to go talk to him about you. Like, all of this bullshit. And Bria is calling her out. Like, you've told me you'd never do this to me. And, like, you just need to own your shit. Like, you should have said to me. Now, do we think that if Morgan said, like, I'm going to go after Zach, that Bria would have taken it fine? No.
Oh, but hell no. No.
But does Morgan have a history of lying to the women in the house and snaking them with the men? Absolutely. I just wish that we were seeing clips of the conversation. Like, I don't know why we're not being shown a clip of Morgan telling Bria, I'm not going to go for Zach, and then doing it anyway, like we did with Nutza.
Yeah, it's another editing mystery. They keep talking about her weave. Okay, it does seem a little obvious, right? Like, that she's, like, wearing a hairpiece, like, in the front of her head. Do you think that, like, is that, like, maybe I'm just not familiar with weaves. Is this, like, a normal thing, like, for it to be obvious? And they're all talking about it. They all talk shit about it, like, in their confessionals, especially Bria. So, like, have you noticed this as well?
I believe when Bria first called this out was Zach, like, saying that Zach said you had a bad weave. Morgan's response was, like, I don't have a weave. I have tracks. I have no comment on Morgan's hair. I mean, it's certainly a weave or tracks or wig or something. But like, look, if I'm going on TV, I'll get a wig too. Fine with me.
You should do it whenever your TV appearance comes. You should wear a wig.
That's fine. The money I'll spend on my appearance knows no bounds. If I ever had to be on TV, which I never will have to. but I don't know. I just like. This is where I really had sympathy for Bria, not with calling out her appearance or whatever else, but like, it does seem very convincing that Bria is being lied to by Morgan and then watching her snake her way. And she really should just say, I'm going to be with him. I wonder if we're not seeing the conversations because the edit wants Morgan to be good for Zach and Bria bad for Zach. Like, Bria has to maintain the status of the villain. But I don't know.
Do you think Brie is also, like, as much as it seems really genuine, like, if she's acting, she's doing a phenomenal job. Do you think there's any part of her that's playing it up for, like, okay, like, well, X on the Beach is out there now, and the challenge might want me. Like, or do you think she's just this type of person?
I think this is Bria. Like, I don't think you could fake this and be, like, a normal person in the world.
She'd be an Oscar-winning actress if she did.
Yeah, I do think, like, Bria is the baddest bitch in the house, realest female. Like, that does not feel like the first time she's ever said that.
No, Bria would, I would definitely never want to get in Bria's way. I feel like she would just destroy me.
Which I do think makes Bria a great contender for X on the Beach. Now, I wouldn't want, like, if Bria had, like, a really bad relationship with her ex, and let's say it's not Zach who comes, but it's, like, an ex from her real life, I wouldn't want, like, some real emotional shit to be stirred up from Bria to the point that she, like, couldn't handle it, be unsafe for her. But, like, I do think she's a good contender because she said, like, she messed up with her ex and she regrets it and she'd like to be back with him. So I could see, like, her being good for her ex on the beach.
Oh, for sure. I think that if the challenge doesn't call, which I don't know if it would, like, I do think X on the Beach would, Bria should be a shoo-in for that.
All right, so then Nuza picks Andrew, and I would think it's possible that Nuza doesn't know Andrew's name. Because I don't even know if they showed her saying his name.
Would she point to him and say, like, you?
Yeah, and I don't know if it got, like, cut out, but I had to, like, look up Andrew. I was like, I don't know if she knows. We could go back to the tape on that. Lauren picks
Daniel. Do you remember his name all the time?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, same. Just making sure that I see where she's coming from. She did forget his name.
I don't live with him.
True. That is a good point. I should know, but yeah.
Lauren picks Daniel. Callie picks Tomas. Jasmine picks Tevin. And this is when, like, people come for her, like, you're being thirsty, he doesn't like you. Like, it is sad, they're not wrong. Like, Tevin is using Jasmine. Jasmine doesn't get it, and she's gonna be embarrassed when she sees this, whether she's admitted it or not.
Yeah, we've had situations like that before. It's just sad to watch.
Kenya picks Lewis, Bria picks Kwasi, and they get one new beam in addition to Maria and Shamoy.
Whoa, call the police. Terrence is not happy. I said Taryn. Terrence is not happy.
So who's the beam?
Oh, I could see Callie and Tomas being a soft beam.
Soft beam. I really don't think Morgan and Zach are a match, despite the fact that Zach is convinced now, but I don't get it. But I also, maybe we haven't gotten the real Morgan and we haven't gotten the real Zach, so maybe we're not really able to say. And the Tomas and Callie beam, I agree with you there too, but that's only based on, you know, a roll of the dice first date, so it's really up in the air.
Yeah, I honestly, like, with how random it was, it would be fun to see one of the random couples be a beam, but I who knows.
It's always, I mean, there are always some random couples.
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right, so that takes us into episode 7. Things start heating up a little bit more because everybody's pissed about the one beam, as they should be, and they're now calling to, we rarely see this in Are You the One, they're calling for the couples to who have split, Brian, Zach, and Callie and Brett, to try again. What do you think of that strategy?
Yeah. It's bold. Like, I honestly, I don't know. Like, I feel like in that, there's no, on every TV show, I think we've talked about this, like, strategic TV show, there's kind of a path you take, like, you know, like, Survivor, Big Brother, like, as different as winners' paths are, like, you kind of know the game, you have to maneuver around people. This game, I feel like there's no clear-cut path. Like, do we play with our heart? Do we just play mathematically? I don't feel like any of these people are just going to go with math. It might be the best bet, but they're not going to do that. So, if I actually do like the thought of, okay, like, let's try to reconnect, let's put one of you in the truth booth, let's see if it's a match, if not we have information, I do like that.
And this is like a little bit of a reverse of what we usually see. Like, Bria and Zach were a locked in couple from the beginning. We usually see people saying you have to split up. We rarely see the couple split up and the house call for them to be back together and call out the new relationship of Zach and Morgan as just merely spiteful. And, like, it's just a very strange thing. I just can't get over that this is 7 seasons and we're getting something new. I'm with you that they could get those people in and they should get that information. And especially a couple like Brie and Zach, who are not truly split. But like Callie and Brett, do you really need to put them back in? They sat together like twice and they don't like each other now. Maybe they are still a match, but how much information are you really going to get?
No, yeah, I was more leaning towards like Brie and Zach.
Yeah, when, yeah.
Because I think that they saw more than we did with them, because it seems like how it's odd how confident they are this whole episode with them. So I do think Brett and Callie, like that one night where she kept calling him Zach and he was acting like a complete douche, that showed more than enough that I don't think there's any way there, if it's a genuine, there's no way it's a genuine perfect match. So yeah, I'm more leaning towards Brie and Zach, but I agree with you when it comes to the other two.
And that's the thing with Brie and Zach, like maybe the rest of the house is not buying the Morgan and Zach relationship, because I don't even believe Zach when Zach is like, oh, yes, I'm 100% positive, Morgan, that we're a beam. Like, Morgan's asking him these questions.
Oh, yeah.
And I almost feel bad for her because it's just, like, appears to be complete bullshit.
Yeah, she seems very, like, just, like, meek and nervous. And I'm sure Brie is putting her on edge a little bit. But I do feel bad for Morgan. Like, she just kind of, I don't know. There's something, I feel like she's, like, kind of being reserved. And I'm sure it's a stressful situation.
And we do get Zach explaining the differences between Brie and Morgan. And I get it. Like you're saying, she's a little meek. Like they are polar opposites and they both have qualities that I think Zach is attractive to. But they're just so different that it's like hard maybe for the house to like understand.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one.
All right, let's talk about Kayla and Cam. Did you see this coming, that Cam like all of a sudden has went from hero Cam wearing a cape with Kayla's ex to now has a lot of reservations due to Kayla's motion sickness?
I was about to say, like, it, honestly, if I did know about the fact that she gets motion sickness and he loves going fast, I would have probably seen this coming. But then as soon as I found that out, I was like, they are no way a match. Like, those are crazy. Like, of course, why? We'll run the other way. Like, if you're with a girl who gets motion sickness, like, come on. Like, you can, that's just an awful thing to, you don't want to stay with someone for just because they like going slow.
And she doesn't like the ocean. He loves the ocean. You know how many marriages have that in their vows?
It's funny that you say that, because my parents nearly got divorced because my mom started not liking the ocean and then my dad had to convince her to like the ocean again.
This is what I like here is like, I'm not angry at Cam here. Like, we really have reached the point in Are You the One, which is like truly the most ridiculous, where I'm sure Cam is watching this being like, oh my God, I sound like such an idiot. But when you're not making much. Well, I, you know, maybe some part of him, but when you're this far along into the game, you've only got one confirmed match, you truly have no idea, you have no control over the dates, like, any of this, you get to the point where you're starting to be like, you know, we both come from a one cow town, or with one stoplight cow with more cows than people, we must be a match. I like to go-kart, and you get sick in cars, so oh my God, the matchmakers knew that, and like, we're not a match.
I think this is a clear case of him like, okay, like I want to explore my options. How do I do it in a nice way? All he had to say was like, you know what? Like, obviously he has very polarizing political views. Use that. Say like, okay, like you don't agree with me politically. We have very different viewpoints that could pose some issues. I'm going to explore my options. But somehow he has to act like an idiot in beyond his what he's done already, and just make up some bullshit excuses. It's so comical though. And like he tries to like convince her of it, and she's like, I don't know. Like, it was just super uncomfortable.
No, that's totally fair. But he would really narrow his options if he limited himself to only people with the same political views.
Do you think he'd get anyone else in the house? Like, is there anyone that would, I can't see anyone beyond Kayla giving him a chance. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't think we'll have the opportunity based on the end of the episode to see that. But yeah, I agree with you. And then we talked about the two cow, more cow town people, Andrew and Lauren. They're the most basic couple, but I do kind of think they're a little bit cute.
I just, the first thing that came to my mind was these are the whitest couple we've ever seen on any of these shows. And it was so, I forgot, what did he say that was so like, I'm going through my notes. I don't think I have it. He said something ridiculous. I know he said the mom thing.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like he said something along the lines, like something else weird, where he's just such a strange guy and I can't like put my finger on him.
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of drunk and giggly and like, oh, we could be a match. We're from the same area. Like, we have the same values. I don't know, whatever.
I remember he said, I want to find like, are you the, it's not, are you the one for like now? It's like, are you the one forever?
It's true.
Yeah, we've seen how many marriages come from this show out of every match.
Well, I mean, we've seen a couple babies.
Yeah, and we've also seen, and Kareem and Olivia are still together, so I saw that on Instagram today, so you know what? If they can make it, anyone can.
There you go. Maybe next week I'll prepare, like, a Where Are They Now game, but you seem to know.
I only follow a few of them, because I unfollow usually when the season's done, but like I said, I don't want to get jumped at the gym, so I kept following Kareem.
All right, let's talk about this pool party. Did you ever play Nervous? Were you familiar with this game, Nervous?
Yeah, I played in us like when I was in middle school, and I got real nervous the minute the girl touched my leg, and I said, I'm nervous.
Started at the foot.
You know, she started at like the lower knee, and it freaked me out. I was in like sixth grade. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to play Nervous when you're like sexually active 24-year-olds in a drinking like situation. Like, that's not Nervous.
I'm not surprised that they did, though. Like, it seems like such an RE the One game.
I also loved whoever proposed it was like, what's that game, you know, where you like touch people? And Lou's like, oh, it's Nervous. I play that.
It's assault.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, first of all, no one on RE the One is nervous. So this is just going to be like a groping right? game.
Exactly. It's so like, it's come on. You knew where this is headed.
And it ends up in a fight between Samantha and Daniel because Nutsa takes it to the Nutsa. And goes right to Daniel's groin. And Samantha doesn't like it.
What did she yell? Like, grow up. Like, you know, and like, a part of me, like, if this was any other situation, like, I get it. Like, I completely see where she's coming from. But first of all, like, Daniel definitely seems like the guy who would love anyone to grope him. On top of that, I just feel like she, like, what do you expect? Like, do you expect these people to like act like civilized adults? Like, it's RE the One. You're not going to get a less civilized house than this.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you if you thought it was an overreaction or not. I get it. And I love how Daniel handles Samantha, where he's just sort of like, I guess it was inappropriate and I'm sorry you got offended. Like, he just sort of keeps calm about it. I think it was a big, big overreaction from Samantha. Like, yeah, she can be mad about it, but to call off the relationship over it, I think is a bit extreme. But let's just, I tried to group the 2-hour segment, my notes for the 2-hour segment of just sort of like what happens throughout for the couple for the entire episode. I know it gets broken into like three parts. Then we get Daniel's reaction to Samantha, like dropping the bomb on him. And he's sort of like, this gives me reservations. Like, I don't know, Samantha, like, in one second she loves me, the next second, like, I do the wrong thing and it's over.
Do you think that, like, the success for an RE the One couple, like, kind of hinges on the both people being open but also continuing to build that bond? As it feels like, I don't know if there's a formula, but it feels like when people are too, like, clingy to each other, it doesn't work, and if they're too open, it doesn't work. So I feel like there's got to be some balance of, like, okay, like, let's be open, but at the same time, like, let's get to know each other better.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think if you try to get, like, wifed up in the first week, you're going to set yourself up to get hurt. But in this situation, this isn't even, like, him being open. It's, like, someone dared them to do this, and she did it. And, like, yes, he could have stopped it, but also it's RE the One, and they've known each other for 2 weeks, and, like, it wasn't like he hooked up with her. I also think, like, you have to be vulnerable in RE the One, and I think that is what's hard for Samantha, because she likes him, he knows she likes him, and he still allowed this to happen. And in her ideal situation, he would have not gone along with it. But at the end of the day, you're still on a dating game show on MTV, and he's not going to be the guy that's going to stop it. And so I think, I don't know if it's so much like being open to a new relationship, but you have to be okay being vulnerable.
I agree with that. That's a good way to put it.
And this, like, there are a couple moments where I've just seen myself in some of these women on RE the One, and it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. But, like, the way Samantha, nobody cares about my life, but the way that Samantha acts is totally how I act a lot of the time. It's just like, well, you just let me know. Like, I could turn off my feelings real quick. Like, as soon as she's given, like, 1% of, like, vulnerability to him, she's going to double down 3 times harder by being like, never loved you, like, no problem. And he's sort of saying, like, you know, I don't like this, that I do one last thing and you be one wrong thing and you're spiteful. But I do also think that if he were to end it with her, she would be like fighting for him, as opposed to being this like, oh, you better break down my walls. I'll turn my feelings off real quick. I don't even care about you.
I think it's tough for these people to switch off their real life feelings and their real life, how they would act when they get to Are You the One? Like, it is a different world. So like in real life, if you're talking to someone pretty seriously and someone else gropes their area in front of you, you're going to be like, all right, like, okay, you don't respect me, you don't want to be with me. But Are You the One is just such a different environment, and it's tough for these young kids to differentiate.
No, that's definitely fair. But I even think sometimes you're at a game, like you're playing truth or dare, like, yeah, I don't know.
No, I get what you're saying. Like, things, the cool, silly things happen. Like, not everything means something.
I'd probably get pissed about it. I don't want to be on the record as saying this isn't a big deal, but it seems like an overreaction.
It depends on the situation too. Like, how serious are you? Like, we don't really know how serious they're even, you know?
2 weeks in?
Like, to me, like realistically, if it's something I have in real life, I have, like, 2 weeks in is not a lot of time.
Let's talk about Callie, who seems to be the belle of the ball here. Everybody wants to be with Callie, starting with Don Jr. Jr. Cam.
That was a good one. Yeah, Cam, like, I don't agree with his political views, but aside from that, I think he's so phony. Like, I just get this really phony vibe from Cam, where, like, it just bothers me. And the way he, like, talks to the girl, like, to Kayla and Callie and all these, any other Cal name, he just comes across as, like, the same exact way. It's like he's, like, doing this, like, little flirty thing where he grabs them and, like talks in this very annoying voice. And I just... there's no part of me that could, like, watch Cam be like, you know what, he's a little bit likable. I just feel like he's really off-putting, politics aside.
Yeah, my annoyance with Cam didn't really start until the end when Callie made it clear that she wasn't into him, but to us at least. Because I think the way he treats Kayla is ridiculous, but it didn't bother me so much that he was, like, having conversations with Callie. It's sort of innocent. He was open with Kayla and said, I'm having reservations. I want to get to know other people. And now he's interested in Callie because she's, like, confident in herself and a free spirit. And those are substantive things that Kayla is not. So that to me made a little more sense than, like, him going up to her and being like, are you motion sickness? Do you get motion sickness?
I imagine she doesn't, because why else would he talk to her if she did?
But I do like how Kayla's handling it. Like, she does pull sort of a half Kiana. She gets really upset. But she's crying in private. She's not breaking them up. She's not getting drunk and angry. She's talking to other guys. Like, I feel terrible for her because I think he scooped her up with her ex at a vulnerable time and then dropped her afterwards. But she does handle it like an absolute champ.
No, she did a really good job with this, and I feel like most the producers are probably hoping that she had a meltdown and flipped out in front of him. But it was nice to see her say, you know what, like, it does suck, but I'm going to cry and it's going to hurt me, but I'm not going to do this in front of him or her, and I'm not going to kind of... She really let it play out, and as much as it didn't end because of Cam, it still doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere.
And then both women have other suitors, so Callie and Tomas... It seems like Tomas is taking an extremely passive role here, but later in the episode, we find out that Callie's into him, so it's working out.
Yeah, he just waited around and waited for things to happen, and I'm sure they had conversations, but from the edit, it looks like he kind of just chilled, and eventually she was, like, continuously into him, and then eventually it turned into something.
Which brings a question up for me. Like, okay, do you have an obligation in Are You the One if you can tell that Cam... And I'm not saying Callie could tell, but let's say she noticed Cam. First of all, she knows Cam's flirting with her a lot. And I don't know if she knows how upset Kiana is, but it's clearly affecting his relationship with Kayla. Mm. Does he have an obligation to say, like, look, Cam, like, I'm not really feeling you the way you're feeling me. I'm interested in Tomas. Or is Callie handling it the right way to just sort of, like, not go after him, but, like, leave it open?
I honestly, like, I think she is handling it the right way. I don't think you owe everyone, like, an explanation on this show where you're like, look, I'm not into you. Like, I feel like everyone probably flirts with everyone. So what we saw from them and him, like, flirting with her, I'm sure that happens a lot more than just that situation. So I feel like if you were doing that with every person, like, look, I'm not into you, I'm not into you, I'm not into you, you're just kind of look like a crazy person. So I do think she handled it correctly, because I think that happens more than we know.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think if she were immediately rejecting him, we would be like, you don't know. Like, how can you be so sure that he's your match? But, like, It does suck to see him, like, throwing Kayla away when Callie's kind of embarrassing him, but he deserves it.
Yeah, and it's like when you said that, like, when someone immediately throwing someone away, it's like Samantha and Lewis, the first conversation they had, where she was like, nope, you're not my match. And he was like, I don't know, like, we don't know. I want that to happen. Like, and we've seen that, but, like, I want it to happen with at least Samantha and Lewis and another couple. Like, it's just so funny to watch.
Right. No, that's true. I forgot about that Samantha Lewis thing. Mm-hmm. Throwback, just like the Nervous Game, ultimate throwback.
I forgot the Nervous Game existed till this episode, so we're just really hit. We're gonna hit with throwbacks left and right.
All right. So Kayla also has another suitor. Kwasi is very interested in Kayla, and he opens up as a result of it and talks about his family, like we mentioned before, and his yeah. Yorkie BJ.
And she was like, that's like the worst name ever. And didn't he say like he didn't realize at the time?
Well, no, I think what he didn't realize is that he calls him Beast Junior.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they were talking about the sexual part of it, because then Kayla later brings that up. But it's I think it's a bad name overall.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible name, but it is good to see that he has something that he cares about. Like, I feel like, not that that proves anything, I'm sure serial killers have dogs, but it is nice to see, like, okay, like, he cares about something, like, he's showing a little bit of vulnerability.
Yeah, I thought this was a really nice moment, and that Kayla's very sweet with him, and I liked this, this scene with Deb. And then, I liked Asia giving her the reinforcement, like, you shouldn't get booed up. You don't know anyone, anything until they're your match. And like, if Kwasi's opening up to you, like, he's never opened up to anyone else in the house. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, and we don't really see that. We don't really see Kwasi, like, because I'm sure it's a lot of physicality in him trying to hook up. But it is nice to see it. I don't know. I still think he likes Kayla because he wants to hook up with her.
But yes, 100%.
But it's, I guess, good to see at least, maybe he's showing some emotion, right? It's better than just being like, your body's like rocking, let's do something. Like, he's at least trying to get to know her and trying to show himself. By the way, that's not a proven tactic, so I wouldn't recommend that to anyone.
Beast mode, Adam.
Oh god.
No. All right, let's talk about this date. So we get let's talk about Mo really quick, because we get Mo's take on Asia and Lewis, where Mo is sort of saying that it's not going to work out between Asia and Lewis. And I don't want to agree with Mo, but I also can't see Asia and Lewis being a match.
No, especially with what he's saying is the reason for it. Like, Lewis, obviously, if he was interested, he would have pursued her by now.
And we'll get to Momo a little bit later, but let's talk about the date, because we got to set up this fight that breaks out, bringing us into episode 8. But before we get there, we stop at the date. We get, as the fates would have it, Brie and Zach are ready to go on a date.
Yeah, so did we miss something completely, like, in between all this?
Probably.
Like, there had to be, like, some sort of, like, oh, maybe things are still there. Like, wasn't Zach kind of, like, the whole time, like, nope, Bria's not my match, Bria's not my match. Then all of a sudden he's like, you know what, like, we'll go on the date. And then she was kind of excited. But I feel like they were definitely, like, not closing that door completely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Zach wifed up with Morgan and was, like, saying what he needed to say to Morgan. And then he's got Bria in front of him, and he's like, well, I might as well take advantage of this, too. Like, if we remember, before Zach and Bria, and before Zach and Morgan, Zach hooked up with Nutza. Zach was just, like, all over the place trying to get it where he could. So yeah, I don't really believe anything Zach says at all.
I agree. I'm also not a Zach believer.
So, unfortunately for Morgan is a Zach believer, because Zach reassures her, and all Morgan says is, I don't want you to make me look dumb. Now, at first, I thought only Morgan is the one who's making herself look dumb, and then I watched the rest of this episode.
Oh, God, and I completely agree with you there.
So, yeah, on the date, we get Bri and Zach. Bri is opening up about how much Zach hurt her. By the way, for anyone who cares, Asia and Daniel also went on the date. And, like, she's talking shit about Morgan. We don't see Zach, on the date at least, really offering reassurance to Bria. But we also don't see him defending Morgan, telling Bria to stop saying what she's saying. And then Bria's like, I want to kiss you. And Zach does. And at first, again, on the date, like, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, Bria is just seeing what she wants to see on this date. But, like, we're all seeing that Zach is, like, really reluctant and, like, not really into this. until they get back to the house. This is where I thought I missed something, because I thought on the date he was very much like not expressing, not reciprocating Bria's feelings.
I don't know. When he kissed her, I kind of was like, okay, like I know like people will kiss for anything, especially on this show. But I was at least like, okay, like he kissed her back. Like he knows that's going to get around. He has to expect it. So at that point, I was kind of like, I guess he has like feelings for her. Like you're still wants to see where this is going to go. I just didn't know like it was to the extent where like he was willing to drop everything else. Like we're a match. That's it. Like let's go to the truth booth. Like he was super all in real quick. And I think that shows a lot about his character, that he's kind of like probably tough to be in a relationship with.
Yeah, I thought it was way more like when he kisses Maria on his first date and he's like still into Bria, but like, eh, it's a date. We might as well kiss. We're on a dating show. But then like, he's like, I think I'll be packing my bags tonight. He's not even addressing Morgan, as Morgan properly calls out, until Samantha says, like, don't you feel like a piece of ass for disrespecting Morgan? And he's just like, oh, yeah, well, us too. If it's not Bria, it's my leftover.
Oof, and I like that Samantha said this, actually. Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are kind of like, okay, like, go with your heart. But I like that she was kind of like, you're kind of being a jerk to I forgot her name, Morgan. And then what is Bria's like, nope, but like, we're, when they go in the truth booth, like, you talk about that then, but like, we're focusing on us right now.
Yeah, I mean, they are being jerks. The house, I think, generally doesn't care because they don't like Morgan at this point. I was surprised Terrence didn't say anything. But yeah, we get Morgan being like, oh, like, this is it then. Like, I've been disrespected. And I was just like, Zach's going to get her back in 2.0 seconds. And that is what happened. Spoiler alert, what happened.
And look what happened. I think it was hysterical when the, I know this is so messed up, but when they were a no match and she was like, but we, it can't be like, we have to be a match. They went on one date. It'd been like 4 hours ago. She thought like he was the biggest ass in the world, you know? And now all of a sudden she's like, how are we not a match? It was just such a fluctuation of like emotions.
Exactly. And that continues through episode 8. So that takes us to episode 8. We get a no match. Now, were you surprised that Zach and Bria, I'm used to just being like, no surprise, but this could have been a surprise. Were you thinking Bria and Zach could be a match?
It's funny because I was watching this not too long ago and I was like, okay, like, I don't think I really was leaning towards one side. I at the same time, I'm like, okay, like, they're building up this whole story. Like, I feel like there's more to be told here. But at the same time, I wasn't completely like, okay, they're definitely not a match. I feel like I was 50-50 and wasn't sure which way it was going to lean. But now that they're not a match, I feel like it makes complete sense.
I mean, it's bad because now with the fate button, I'm sort of like, well, if they were a match, we would not be seeing them on the date. Because they would not want them to leave.
True. I didn't even think of it like that. Wow. That makes
And that's what's like super, super annoying now about this.
Yeah, it is frustrating because I feel like if you really want to look into things, you can now, right? Like we could kind of like tell what's going on based on, oh, this is who they're setting up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no. And I'll try not to do that, but I didn't think they were going to be a match because they went on this date. But I was a little upset because, again, I found myself being Team Bria. But it's good. They shouldn't be a match. Like, they're a terrible match.
Oh, awful. In the long run, this is great.
And Bria's looking for a fight, so she pops off on Kwasi, and that's a big nothing, apologizing later. I mean, it was just so clear. I wish Kwasi could have seen it that way. Like, it was so clear that she just wanted a fight, so he got in the way.
No, that was very obvious. Yeah, it was really obvious.
And then... continuing fights about nothing. We have Zach not even talking to Morgan. What a jerk. And Asia, who I thought at first was like the incredible Bria whisperer who can just keep everything calm, let me handle the other women, don't worry about it, goes off on Nutza and Morgan for I still don't know why. Do you understand why that fight happened?
No, that was really bizarre. And I wasn't, maybe it was like just being drunk, doing something silly, getting angry for no reason, taking out maybe past experiences with a person you don't like and trying to find something that kind of you could pick on. But yeah, that was super weird.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the justification arises later. I mean, she doesn't have any justification for it when she does it, but like she assumed that Newt and Morgan were talking about Bria. But it was just absolutely insane. And Lewis sees that, and granted, I don't think he was into her in the first place, is like, oh, she can't be my match. She's a bully.
Yeah, and I hopefully he communicates that with her. But yeah, she did come across kind of a jerk, and I'm not the biggest Nutza fan. Like, I don't like certain things she said up to this.
I love Nutza.
I'm just a hot take. But I felt bad for her in this situation. She was like, I'm just hungry. Like, I'm just coming down here to eat. Like, I wasn't really, I haven't eaten all day. I just thought that was pretty funny.
Nutza tweeted about this, but literally, like, she claims that not only did she just say, like, good luck to you, Morgan had been like, she tweeted that Morgan had said, like, I still think he's my match. And Nutza was like, I don't think he is, but good luck to you.
So she really did, like, the minimal you could do.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't just, like, speak. She was guilty by association, I guess, just standing next to her.
Hard streets of Are You the One. Things happen sometimes.
But when one door closes, another door mows. Another Mo opens? Yeah. I don't know. I'm nothing, yeah, well, but...
Well, hey, Mo's always there. Like, he's just waiting. He's cleaning and waiting for his perfect match to come along and scoop him up.
I wouldn't have put Mo and Asia together. But I think it's a good match.
Yeah, and do you think it's a romantic match, though? Like, do you think that's possible?
I don't know. Like, I think Mo had turned on this, like, sexy voice. Like, Mo is definitely a different Mo. Like, you're queen, you're this, you're that. Like, it definitely wasn't just the cooking and cleaning Mo. And I think, like, Asia does need to be cared about. She spends so much time. Like, she's literally spending all of her energy in the house taking care of Kenya and taking care of Bria. I think Mo could be the one to be Asia's emotional guardian. I don't know if, like, Asia and Mo are super attracted to each other, but I could see them getting there.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I really do think Mo's not like every other guy on the show, just wants fame. He seems like a genuine nice guy. He cleans, that's mature. He cooks, good for him. I'm all for it, you know. I would ship this sailboat.
I'm in on Mo and Asia. I don't know how in Asia is, but I mean, I think she's been spending so much time on Louis, so I don't really think she really knows what's a good match for her.
Yeah, and I don't even know what Louis, like, just speaking to Louis for a second, like, I wonder where his head is at. I wonder if he's just kind of like, okay, like, I'm exploring my options, I'm trying to see if I get topped off again, or he's like, okay, I want to find my perfect match. It doesn't seem like he's, like, really into the fall in love thing. Like, I don't think he's had any confessionals saying that.
Yeah, I think Louis is a goon. I love Louis. I think he's very funny.
Oh, me too. He's great
confessionals. Yeah, I mean, I think he's just sort of like, I think if he were to, like, fall in love, he'd be maybe open to it. But yeah, it's not like a priority. He's just goofing around and having fun with Asia. But I think it's, like, clear that that's not a thing.
I like when people, as much as we need people who take this show seriously, I do also like having people on the show who don't take it so seriously and don't act like, oh, you're my perfect match. Like, that's this huge deal. And of course you want the money, but I do like Louis's kind of like laid back personality, who's just going to have fun.
Louis's scene where he gets in the ocean with the life vest and is like, I'm in the ocean, was one of the highlights of the 3 hours of maybe the highlight for me of the 3 hours of Are You the One?
Oh, yeah, I would. OK, so for the 3 hours Are You One, I would say my highlight, and I don't think we've mentioned this so far, just to go off, it was something I wanted to bring up earlier. Did you see what Tevin was wearing in the first matchup ceremony? He joked like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Tevin has very questionable fashion sense. Rourke actually also texted me about what Tevin wears. It's not good. It's not good.
Oh, no. And he's a good looking guy. So, like, he's got that going for him. But, like, the whole Michael Jackson look wasn't working for him.
I'm looking to see what she said. She said, Tevin's style is so awful to me. I legit can't comprehend it.
Yeah, just overall. You know what? I agree with her.
All right. So, Zach finally pulls Morgan aside. I think he approaches this wrong. He ends up with a good result but I think he should have apologized at least. Like, he just told everyone you were, like, she was your second choice, and you're not even, like, apologizing for it. You're just like, this was fine.
Oh, it was, this, like, I don't know if it was 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was such a phenomenal, like sequence of things going down. So he goes from, okay, like, Bria's my perfect match, not you, Morgan, to, well, I said if it wasn't Bria, it was you, Morgan. She's like, are you sure? Like, we have to tell her this, which makes me kind of feel bad for Morgan. Like, he literally just told the whole house in front of you that you're his second option.
Yeah, no, it was extremely embarrassing. But, like, when Morgan is like, we're done, but, like, clearly she's not, because she's still standing there as he doesn't apologize, doesn't explain, and is just sort of like, he's saying, like, so you don't want me to talk to you anymore? And she's like, well, you just really hurt me. You know, she's not saying no.
Yeah, it seems like guys hurting girls on Are You the One is just what we expect nowadays. Quasi, I miss the good old days. Just kidding.
What were the good old days?
I know, it was a sarcasm that it were never good old days.
Ah, yes. Quasi, though, gives Zach the ultimate assist here, though, because he walks Bria over, puts him on the spot. All right, let's assume both of them aren't your perfect match. Who could you be with in the real world?
The one thing about Quasi that, you know, he is stirring shit up and he's not afraid to do it. So cool. Good for you. There's certain people that I feel like are like Morgan who are going to kind of stand in the background. Like if drama comes to her, okay. But Quasi's definitely going to insert himself in that situation.
See, I'm still team Asia and Bria with Morgan. I think Morgan is a stirrer, but she gets away with it because she like has this like innocent act. And that's what I can't stand. Like I agree with Bria that she should own it. And when she says to like, Kayla is like doing the right thing and is just being upset privately about the Cam thing. And she's like, I'm trying not to pay attention to it. Morgan's like, well, you better start paying attention to it. Like it's not that obvious, but she is a shitster in my opinion.
Yeah. She's fooling me. And maybe I'm just really bad at reading people, but no, I love this conversation where Bria kind of goes like, it's not right. Like what she's doing, like saying like, you're not, it's kind of like her insecurities are showing like, you're worse than me in the real world. Like he's always going to come back to me. Cause I feel like Bria should be like, you know what? Like if he doesn't want me in the real world or he doesn't, now he's choosing Morgan, like screw him. Like I'm going to move on. But like, she's obviously not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in this situation is wrong because Zach is wrong because he says Morgan. But the real answer is obviously neither one of them. But he says, and that's why it's tough, but he says Morgan. Morgan is wrong because, like, look at the situation. Obviously, Zach is going to tell you what you want to hear now after Bria is no longer an option. He had the option to really show that he would pick you, and he didn't. He picked Bria. Or he wasn't even considered. He could have at least hedged and been like, I don't know, I'm curious to know what the truth booth says, and then I'll decide after that. You know, like, he's just like, I'm ready to pack my bags with Bria 5 seconds ago. And Bria's wrong because not only is the shit she's saying to her rude and horrible, but, like, she's like, first she's saying, like, he'll always pick me over you, but he's trash, and trash goes with trash, and you're trash. So, like, if he's going to pick you over her and he's trash and trash goes with trash, are you also trash? Like, it was just, you know, mixed metaphors. And clearly it was insecurity, like you're saying.
Yeah, sadly. And she definitely didn't think that trash insult through.
And speaking of not thinking things through, Quasi's logic here, he's also wrong. There's a fourth wrong. Because his logic is if Bria and Zach break up, it's good for him because it means that Kayla will like see Bria and Zach break up and doubt her relationship with Cam. But Bria and Zach not being a beam makes it more likely that Kayla and Cam are a beam because they've sat at the same matchup ceremonies together.
Oh, just a ton of missed logic from the cast of Are You the One season 7, which we would want no other way.
Truly shocking.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I understand like what he was trying to say, like, oh, well, maybe if they see other people breaking up, like they're going to question their own relationship. But I feel like anyone with their own brain will be like, oh, that sucks. They broke up, but like, we're good. Like, I don't think people are like that following of other, they don't follow the people that much where it's like, oh, they broke up. Guess we got to do it too.
It definitely happens on Bachelor in Paradise where you like feel insecurity in your own couple. But like when there's scientific math, like there's scientific math, when there's math involved and you could say, oh, actually them not being a couple is better for me. You're not going to let that insecurity seep in because it's already going to validate your couple.
Very true. No, I agree with you on this front. But that's, hey, like we said, logic is not one of the strong suits of the RRD 1-7 cast.
So we get the Ben turning away from logic to follow their hearts here, which again always pisses me off because if you follow your hearts and find your matches, you'll get the money. So that's logical, but whatever. Tevin picks Kenya. Tomas picks Callie. Lewis picks Lauren, which is the real ho-what moment of the matchup.
Didn't they go on like a date together where she fell off a horse? That was them, right?
Yeah, but it's still kind of like a what?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying there's got to be something there. But yes, yeah, I agree. True, true. It hasn't been followed up since she fell off that horse and pulled a full house.
And then Mo picks Asia. And then that pops off again. And, like, to me, this was another relatable moment. Only because, like, now that you've calmed down and you're like, oh, shit, I, like, picked this crazy fight. Like, she feels like she has to come back five times harder because she has nothing to say and no reason. So she starts really throwing out like insanity. Like Newt's has done nothing to make matches. Like, I don't know if you've seen yourself, Asia, but like you have no connections in the house except to the woman.
She ran around a couch with Brent. Okay. She's done plenty.
And then even Terrence is like, this fight is over absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know if production told him to say that because they're like, we can't make a story out of this. So if you could just tell them to shut up, please.
And I that's why I like Terrence, because even no matter who how he did this, like I just love the way he communicated. It was like, you're both being idiots. Like, just stop.
And then we have White Chocolate Chip, a.k.a. Brett, with the new moniker from Terrence, who picks Nutza. And I had in my notes, I really wish Brett would have defended her. And then he does. And I love that.
Right, look at Brett growing, right? He went from crazy Brett to now look at he's defending her. So he's showing growth.
Which I still think that night, like, look, I think it's totally valid that Callie says no to Brett after what happened between them. But I don't think that one night is like sinks Brett's ship with everybody else in the house, you know? Like, I think Brett still has potential.
No, I like that. And I think that, especially on a show where we're hoping these people do learn from their mistakes, like, he acted like an idiot and it was pretty crazy, but hopefully he identifies it as a mistake and can move forward and learn. So we gotta give people second chances in our either one.
We have Zach and Morgan, Cam with his heart for Kayla, his eyes for Callie, roaming body parts all around, picks Kayla.
Yeah, and then Kwasi, right? Was it Kwasi immediately after when he kind of has this, he lets Kim know what's going on?
Yeah, so Kwasi comes up next. First, I want to ask you, do you think this is the right move? Cam later says, like, what was I supposed to do, lie to Terrence? Like, what are you supposed to do in that moment if you're Cam and he says, do you like anybody else in the house?
I do think being honest is the best bet. I in this situation, I'm sure there's other situations where it can mess people up. But I think that especially with someone who's, I don't think sees a real long future with Kayla. I don't. I can't imagine that they would end up together after this. So at least kind of saying like, look, I still like you, but there's someone else that I'm also interested in, even if it's not going to go anywhere. I do think that's the best bet is to be honest.
Yeah, I think all of that makes sense, especially because it doesn't seem like he's that into Kayla. And you're right about that. I do think that you could finesse it, and I think we've seen people finesse it better by being like, this matchup, like, there's a lot of beautiful women in the house, this matchup, I'm going to focus on Kayla. Like, something like that. Like, you're not lying, you're still, like, giving Callie a little shout by being like, everyone in the house is beautiful, I'm, like, open to everyone at this point, but Kayla's my match tonight.
No, I like that. That's a very, like, politically correct way to play it. Like, of course, all these girls are pretty. Like, if it didn't work out with Kayla, I'm sure I'd be able to meet someone I really liked. But right now I'm with Kayla, kind of being like, look, there's other people here, but right now I'm with Kayla. It's a great way to put it.
So yeah, as you were saying, Kwasi comes up, he picks Jasmine, which is a total throwaway, which is fine. And then says, like, Kayla was my number one, but, you know, she got picked. And that somehow is the first time Cam is alerted to the fact that they've even spoken.
He looks so surprised. Like, his reaction was fantastic. He was like, what? That's what I imagine his face saying.
It's sort of like, open your eyes. If you were paying any attention to Kayla all week, you would have known that she had at least two long conversations with Kwasi. Just shows how little you care.
He was too busy trying her guava and something. I forgot the other ingredient. It was that Callie's drink.
Tequila and guava.
Yeah, there we go. That's what that was.
Yeah, maybe he should have kept one eye on Callie and one eye where his heart was. He was just spread too thin this week to notice.
Yeah, right to his MAGA hat. Sorry, I'm mad.
But one of the other interesting thing about the way Kwasi phrases this, and I want to know if anybody else thought this, starting with you, but anybody else out there, if you thought this, is Kwasi, like, giving us insight in the way that production works this? When he keeps saying, like, first he says to Kayla, if I put you number one, would you be okay with that? And I kind of just ignored that. But then later he says, I put her as my number one. And, you know, he says it as though he wrote this on a sheet. And we've always speculated that, like, production obviously knows who's going to get picked. But now I'm suspicious that they have to, like, rank the women they would choose. And then that's how production determines what order people go in. Because not only do they know the first one or two people they want to pick, but they know who they'd pick if they were last, you know, or second to last or whatever.
After this, I definitely think it reminds me of Survivor, where they like put the votes in an entertaining way. So like they know, and I'm sure like in the past they've kind of speculated that it was, oh, like they ask them and then they kind of just gauge that off their, what they've told them. But I do think after he kept saying that and saying that and saying that, they at least say like, okay, who's your top three? Like, let us know your top three. And you have to like rank them. It just seems like it's kind of a specific wording, right?
Yeah. And then also we get Andrew next, who picks Samantha. And I'm sort of like, okay, Daniel was left last. And if you were going to just react to the way things happen, maybe you'd be more interested in the matches and you'd pick Bria and let Samantha and Daniel get together. But I could see Andrew putting Samantha like third or something. He's like, well, I'm now obligated. Like, maybe you have to pick the woman in order if they're still there or something like that. I don't know. That might be a little bit too much. But to me, it's like inexplicable why Andrew picks Samantha over Bria if he's interested in the game. I mean, maybe he's more interested in like someone who could possibly be his match, but. It's a little rabbit hole there.
No, I agree with what you're saying. It's just sometimes I feel like these people are just, I feel like not putting too much logic into their decisions, you know. And as much as they want to think they are, they're not. We don't have the most amazing colors in the crayon box here.
But despite that, they come up with four beams, which is more than they've ever hit before.
Somebody posted online. They're like, if Ryan was there, he would have given them crap for this. But I feel like Terrence is usually hard on them. Like, I don't know. Were you as impressed with these four beams as they were?
No, it's not great. But I do think, even to Ryan's credit, like, anytime you get improvement, you're going to let them have the happy moment, I think.
True. I guess you're right. I just, like, they were, like, going crazy. Like, I'm like, okay, like, that's good. But, like, you still got a long way to go, my children.
Yeah, no, it was bad. But especially if you mark it against last time when they got one beam as opposed to the three beams of four. But. Da-da-da-da-da. One interesting thing that Callie points out is she says that Tomas and Callie and Morgan and Zach were both the only two couples to carry through. So only one of them can be a match.
Yeah, and that leads to our the Boom Boom Room, where they, how do they get them in there? They play like a game, and I forget what game it was, but
Lewis just calls for them to go to the Boom Boom Room.
Well, it was calls for you. Listen, you don't want to mess around.
With the ultimate assist, but really quick between Tomas and Callie, Morgan and Zach. I know you said you thought Tomas and Callie could be the first beam. You still feel that way at the end of the episode?
Yeah, I don't think that Morgan and Zach. I feel like there's something missing with them. And I think Callie's naturally bubbly, so maybe it appears like she has chemistry with everyone, so it's tougher to read that. But I don't think that Morgan and Zach are beam by any means.
Now that we're getting at the end of this episode, I kind of think they might be, just because production, the editing is hitting us over the head so hard that they're not a match. Like, they send Tomas and Callie into the Boom Boom Room, like, ignoring Morgan and Zach's existence at all.
No, you're right. And sometimes I feel like with either one, I forget about the edit sometimes. Like, I'm just so like, okay, this is all drama. I forget that, like, they're telling a story at the same time.
I mean, I'm being annoying about it. I don't want Zach and Morgan to be a match because I don't think we've seen either of them be authentic at all. But time will tell.
Yeah, and Zach hasn't explored anything with anyone besides these two girls, like, where we've seen substance. I know we've seen like these dates here and there, but that would, I feel like there's no even other option right now.
So we'll see. I mean, look, if they are a match, I'd like them, the fates, to help us out and have them go into the truth booth like next week, so we don't have to see them.
Agreed.
But speaking of the edit really dogged out Tomas here in the Boom Boom Room, exposing his intimacy issues.
I think, like, and I felt bad for the guy because, like, it's, I don't know if it's ever happened or either one, but, well, I'm sure it has, but it's never been shown before. And the main thing that I think that people forget is, like, they're doing this on national TV, you know, and I know they're not going to show explicit details, but everyone knows what's going on. So I did feel for him, because that's not definitely not a fun position to be in. And I can't imagine.
I can't believe they showed this. It was crazy. It was pretty funny. But also, like, not only is it pressure because they're on TV, but the whole house just put them into the Boom Boom Room. Like, normally when people go to the Boom Boom Room, they go, like, on their own. So the man had a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I know. And he did not, as much as he got a perfect assist to him, he did not finish. So maybe next time.
Maybe next time. I just couldn't believe they had that scene. But then this is where we get the hypocrisy we teased earlier in the podcast, if you can remember an hour and 15 minutes ago. Pam is mad that Kwasi's into Kayla, which has absolutely nothing to do with Kayla, but what?
Yeah, it's so such a once again, such a hypocrite. Like the whole episode, they build up him like, oh well, Callie's over there, and then he's like, oh well, a guy's interested in you, and you're feeling him back. Who do you think? Like, what are you doing? It's just like not to be to judge someone just based on their beliefs, but doesn't it seem kind of stereotypical?
You know, everything about this is the worst.
It's the worst possible situation ever.
Yeah, it's, oh, you know, yeah, hypocrisy from a man's perspective on a woman, how a woman should behave is a little bit stereotypical for his beliefs. Yes, 100%.
Right?
Like,
which is so frustrating, right? Like, cause they had the perfect, he had the perfect opportunity though to say like, okay, despite my beliefs, I'm a good, I treat women well, like I'm how they're supposed to be treated. She could do what she wants, but no, he has to go the exact route we all expect him to go. And that's so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, he just like, he also can't really get through like his argument here because he knows he's being hypocritical, which doesn't take the edge off of it at all. But he's just sort of like, I just didn't know that, you know, I'm not pursuing, Callie's not pursuing him. So it's okay. Like he says, like, look, Callie's not pursuing me. He's in the boom boom room with Tomas. So you have no right to be talking to another man.
It's just so like 1940s. Like I'm just so over Cam in every way, and I don't think there's much coming back from this.
He also doesn't let her talk. Like every time she tries to explain something, he just like goes over it. But then, you know, like I'm the biggest jerk in the house. Cam says I'm the biggest jerk in the house, and Kwasi says hold my beer, because then Kwasi inexplicably pops off. And then he's being absolutely disgusting in the way that he's talking about Kayla. Like, absolutely disgusting. And then allows Cam to, again, be the hero. So Cam only looks good when compared to a disgusting man.
And, I wonder what was, like, was it out? Like, not that there's, of course, no excuse. Like, you'd never, ever act that way. But, like, where was this coming from? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, the way that Kwasi was talking is very much, I think, on par with the conversations we've seen him have with women besides Kayla the whole time.
Yeah, that's disappointing. It's extremely disappointing.
And then we cut the episode at Kwasi throwing a huge shove at Cam. And it's going to pop off the rest of the season.
Oh, we will see some, I wonder if we'll see some punches thrown next week.
I hope not. It really messes up the game when somebody goes home.
And it's only happened once, right? In season
yes.
three?
Yeah.
With a real
yes.
world alum?
Yes, with Mike and Amanda.
Oh, yeah, well, by the way, quick thing. So Mike from season three and also from the real world, I swear I saw him working at Verizon. Like, swear. And I was like, where's this guy from? And then it clicked. And his name was Mike. The guy who's working there, his name was Mike. But then, like, I looked him up online and this guy was like, I don't know, there was some differences. But I really would love if anyone knew if this guy worked at Verizon. Like, and I'm sure it's a long shot, but that's, I really want to find that out.
Well, is it an area of the country he lives in?
I think he was from like Staten Island or New York, or is he? I'm in Jersey, like literally not far from either of those places.
So wait, when you say you looked him up, who'd you look up? You looked up the Verizon employee, or you looked up the MTV guy?
The MTV guy, and like he had a similar tattoo, but there was differences, like in comparing his height, like it was a little off. So like there was just a few differences, but I swear to God, the way this guy talked and like his face, like it looked exactly like him. But I don't know. I still don't know if it was definitely him, because there were some differences.
All right. So is this a local store? Can you go back?
Yeah, but I don't know if I want my life to be that sad where I do go back.
You should just ask him and be like, were you on TV?
What if he says no, then it's just awkward?
Well, my mom once, I spotted Michael Sam, who was like the first gay man, openly gay man, drafted into the NFL and then was on Dates with the Stars. And yeah. we were at an airport, and I was like, oh, that's Michael Sam from Dancing with the Stars, Mom. And she was like, oh, my God, it is. So she goes up to him, and she goes, were you on TV? And he just goes, a while ago.
Wow.
I think you were on TV more recently than you say. And that was my mom. Anyway, so, yeah, you could be like that. No shame.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
All right, so that's interesting. We'll get more on that soon from you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We have to thank our 5-star viewers. So 2 weeks ago, I put out the plea to let us know you're out there. People really did, especially when we missed last week. And that's, again, my fault. Sorry about that, everyone.
That's fine.
People tweeted. We're there. We're listening. We got a lot of 5-star reviews. So thank you so much to everyone who reached out. We have Star Scoots 12, Sean Alvarez, Caitlin Ash 227, Supernatural 101, Casey Case 1234, Alyssa R7, Maggie Ray 47. I think I might have thanked her before. But anyway, thank you guys so much. It was awesome to see all of the special notes about Are You the One on the iTunes page. You can, it's not too late to do that, to help us out. You can review us at robisthewebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And I tried to pull some stuff from Twitter, and really just like all these cast members do is retweet people. So it's so hard to go through, especially after the episode, and find fresh tweets. So I will leave everyone with this. Daniel tweeted, got everything y'all need for my ladies and gentlemen, smirk emoji. Check out the site, danielvilk.com. Prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands. Did you see this? Is this why you're laughing?
No, this is just hysterical. Like, I'm just hysterical that he did this.
It's called the Don't Be Mad At Me tank top. For $25, you could get a tank top that says, don't be mad at me, I'm just doing me.
Oh, God. Oh, I cringed. My body almost turned inside out with that last phrase. So I appreciate you finding that one. It's a magical, magical post.
Actually, while we're here, I should go and see if he has anything else for sale. I love the merch. So people should sell the merch. Oh, this is actually a very nice website. So kudos to him, with a very nice photo of him on the front. And in quotes, it says, don't be mad at me, I'm just doing me. About me. He's got a whole thing about, you know, about this. A very nice site here. A lot of pictures. Visit our shop. All right, let's view the collection.
I'm excited for this.
Okay, so he's got a shirt that says Mr. Uncuffable, and it's got handcuffs. And he's got, he's got a tank top version of that as well. And then he's got the t-shirt and the tank version of Don't Be Mad At Me, I'm Just Doing Me. He's got an iPhone case, a phone case. Don't be mad at me, I'm just doing me, and a water bottle, which is a new arrival.
That's impressive. I'm sure, honestly, if he's not making six figures from this shop, I'd be legitimately surprised.
So good for him. This is a nice, again, a very nice website. MTV star personal trainer lifeguard. There you go.
Ooh, okay. So you could save your life and teach you how to like get strong at the same time.
Oh, this is interesting. He's got talent management and brand development. Class on studios. Kevin Rivera. It's got his address. So I don't know what this is. Sorry, now I'm just really down the rabbit hole here.
You're really intrigued by the world of Daniel?
By chance or by appointment? Wow.
Wow, okay.
It appears that he has some representation of A$AP Rocky. Okay, I don't really know, but okay. That's where my investigation here starts, but you pick up some merchandise with a very unknown phrase on it. Murray the Wand, if you're interested.
I'm sure somebody's going to buy it. Somebody's got to.
So with that, we will catch you next week to discuss week 7 of Are You the One, which will be episode 9, I believe.
Yeah. Yes, because we've had two quick weeks.
All right. So we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.